Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series, anime, and whatever other random stuff happens to come up. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I am joined this week, as always, by my co-host, Austin. Hello, Austin.
Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Tell us.
Okay, so I may not have misremembered the lines to the iconic Michael Jackson song right before smooth we started criminal. This. I am not a smooth criminal, nor am I a good singer. So
it caught me so off guard. I was not expecting you to say, "Are you okay? Tell us."
I mean, that's the point of the song, right? Like, tell us, are you okay? Because
Annie, tell us, are you okay?
You got hit by a criminal, like, gotta know. Should we, like, call someone? I don't know. Oh, my God.
Let's do karaoke.
Let's not. Oh, God, no, please.
No, I refuse. I cannot do karaoke. You know I can't sing for shit. Our listeners know I can't sing for shit. I don't do karaoke at a bar. I do karaoke in a solo room. No random strangers.
This is very, like,
will be present.
Agretsuko.
Yes, exactly like Agretsuko. I can't even fucking say it.
Tell us, are you okay?
I can't. Agretsuko? Is that it?
Agretsuko.
The name is Retsuko. Retsuko. Okay.
It's been a long time since I've seen that show.
It kind of faded out.
It was kind of big for a second, but then, like everything, it sort of had its moment. I don't know. I feel like I can understand doing it alone because it's like, okay, you're alone. Nobody's judging you. Just go sing in a room. But then, like, if you're drunk or you've had a couple, then maybe it's easier to get up there and just, like, let loose and have
no,
fun in the
it
crowd.
Doesn't matter how drunk I am not doing karaoke in front of strangers. That's not happening. Instead, I'll do it sober and sing it on the internet for these poor, poor people that are listening.
That's a weird line to draw. Like, you don't want to do karaoke, but you'll start busting out into song on this podcast.
People are opting into this podcast.
Okay.
You know? They have made the educated decision to do so.
Have they?
They're not sitting at a bar and being subjected to me.
God, has anybody out there been like, hey, and like shown your unsuspecting friends this podcast? You're like, hey, listen to these two weirdos.
Tell your friends.
Unsuspecting people. Tell your friends.
Leave 5 stars and a review because it's rough out there, y'all. We're fighting with the AI podcast. Come on, give us a review.
Yeah. I don't want to have to fight with, like, the Tucker Carlson podcast, please. Also, you know what my biggest anxiety moment is, or one of them? I have a lot, actually, but, like, one of them.
Is it karaoke at a bar?
You go out on, like, a work conference, right? And it's, like, your work colleagues. And you're at a conference, and somebody has the bright idea where they're like, oh, my gosh, we should get a group together and go after dinner to the karaoke bar. And I'm like, goodbye.
Oh, you left?
I've never done it. They did karaoke the last time I was at a work conference, and I left because I was like, I do not want to be a part of this. Goodbye. So I left. No, thank you. Nobody wants to hear me sing. It's just not good.
Annie, are
you
okay?
Know your limits.
Are you okay? Tell us.
Oh, God. What has been going on, Austin?
Nothing much, other than we finished The White Lotus.
Guys.
Or rather, it aired, and we watched it.
It came to an end. We said we were going to report back. I think a couple weeks ago we were like, we were watching this. We were so excited. It was definitely a slow burn of a season. And we were like, ooh, how's it all going to come together? Well, if you can tell by the tone of my voice, we finished it. And
I mean, I think the entire internet agrees that it's the lesser season of the three.
Maybe you're probably laughing at me right now and you're like, silly Alex, this is why you should never anticipate anything because everything inevitably is a letdown. And you'd probably be right about that, listeners, but we had to see it through. We watched the damn thing. I mean, we waited for so long.
Are you excited for season 4?
I mean, I can only hope that they take the criticisms and feedback of this season and apply it to the next one and maybe do something differently. I will just say that I was a little disappointed.
You know what anthology show totally fell off?
What?
American Horror Story.
Oh my God, that was so big for a long time.
I know. It became like the Kim Kardashian hour.
How many seasons has it been?
Like 13.
See, I think it falls into the fatal trap of you gotta quit when you're ahead, right?
That's not the Ryan Murphy way.
Okay. The only one that I remember, because this was, God, this was years ago. My mom was into it, like, when it first aired. It was the original season, I think. The one when they're in, like, a mental hospital.
That's the second season.
Okay, so it was early. Wasn't there, like, aliens or some weird shit involved? Yes. Like, a twist? I was like...
I don't like the second season, and it's, like, the most acclaimed one. So I have bad taste. What do I know?
Do you like any of the seasons of American Horror Story?
I like the bad seasons.
What's the bad seasons? Because we all know the internet's wrong.
I like Hotel, which is not considered a good season. That's the Lady Gaga season. And I like Roanoke, which is also not considered a good season.
Okay.
And I like 1984. Okay.
I don't even know. I've lost the plot.
That's the camp counselor slasher
season. Oh, you love a slasher. So that's
for me, you know.
That's right up Austin's alley. Wasn't there like a witch coven? And then there
weird. That one's really popular. Coven.
Okay. Coven, of course.
That one, it was fun.
God, what other ones do I know of? That's about it, actually.
Ooh, I liked Apocalypse, all right.
I would get into it, but
Apocalypse is partially a sequel to Coven.
I don't know. Once something has about, like, over 5 seasons, I'm like, that's a lot of commitment. Do I really want to, like, get into something like that?
I did get into a horror mood recently because my Mubi trial was running out.
Oh, my God. Mubi. Oh, do you want to tell the listeners about what we watched or tried to watch?
Of all the things on Mubi, I was like, Alex really needs to see this one. And it was called Orgy of the Dead.
Of course.
I wouldn't even call it a movie. It was like women naked dancing, but like they were most of them were really bad at it.
It was an experience, I will say.
We did not finish it.
We had to watch White Lotus, so.
I didn't know what it was going to be. I just saw the title and was like, Alex should see this.
I love how like that. Can you tell a lot from me by the fact that Austin is like, you would like that.
Let's look at my viewing history on Mubi. Okay, the last one is Orgy of the Dead. Great.
That was our finale of Mubi subscription.
Ugh. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy shit.
Just so you know, the Orgy of the Dead movie was from the 1960s, so it's not half as, like, risque as you're probably thinking.
No,
it was ridiculous. So you're gonna laugh. It's a stupid sexploitation film. It was honestly one of the worst things I've ever seen. But it was like a train wreck. Like, you couldn't look away. Like, it was so bad, but you're like, oh my God, what happens next?
Nothing. Nothing happens next.
Nothing happened next, actually.
God, I think you would enjoy The Love Witch, though.
Oh, I do want to see that. You mentioned it.
I think it's on Tubi.
Tubi, Mubi, Poob, Floob.
The Love Witch streaming. God. I was right. It is on it's on Peacock, too, and Pluto. So it's on everything. It's on Roku.
How many more, like, weird-ass streaming services do we need? Are we sure some of these aren't, like, money laundering schemes somehow? I'm not sure, but...
We are not sure of that.
There's, like, a new one that pops up every day.
What have you been doing? I know what you've been doing.
What have I been doing?
You've been packing.
Oh, God.
Allegedly.
What a roller coaster that has been. Guys, I was supposed to move, right? Okay, I am still moving, but... Turns out that I was in like a mad rush to finish packing because I was supposed to move this upcoming week. Turns out that I was able to get an extension on my lease. Hooray. So I don't have to move twice, which is a huge relief. So now my place is in total disarray because I was like, oh my God, I'm moving in like 5 days. I got to pack everything up. Now I have an extra month. So I'm really grateful for that. I don't have to move into a storage unit or anything crazy. So Austin's really glad because now we have more time to record and I can't blow him off because I'm moving.
That is not true, y'all.
LOL.
We are going to have a couple skip weeks coming up, I am sure, because as you know, moving is a whole ordeal and it's literally putting your life in boxes and putting it on hold for a little while. We don't know when exactly, but anticipate a break in your weekly programming. And we've been going pretty consistently for some months now. So I think we're owed that, right? Right?
Right
Leaf
right.
Have stars.
We don't usually have lives outside of this podcast, but sometimes we do, and sometimes it's necessary to attend to that. So
sometimes we move.
Sometimes we move. I am not moving as soon as I thought, but I will be moving. So wish me luck, please. God, I hate moving.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. What else? Otherwise, nothing really. Did you know that today actually is Unicorn Day?
What is that unicorn movie?
The Last Unicorn?
No, not The Last Unicorn. Have you seen that?
Yes, maybe partially.
Okay, the movie I'm thinking of is an A24 movie, and it's in theaters now, and it's called Death of a Unicorn, and it's a horror movie.
Oh, no.
And it stars some big people. Jenna Ortega, Will Poulter, Paul Rudd.
What is the plot of this?
When a man and his daughter accidentally hit and kill a unicorn with their car, his boss tries to exploit the creature's miraculous properties with horrific results.
Okay, I was not expecting that at all.
Okay, did you see the movie Cabin in the Woods?
I don't believe so.
I have a theory that this movie is based off of one scene in Cabin in the Woods, but I have not seen Death of a Unicorn Salesman, so I can't say for sure.
Death of a Unicorn Salesman.
That's about the devil.
Oh my. Maybe if you're a fan of unicorns, you might want to check that out.
Or not, if you want to see them get killed.
Yeah, or not. I tried to click on the learn more of the unicorn little blurb here, but then it took me to like a video that was like all AI unicorns, so I just clicked out of that. Sorry. Oh, wait, let's see. Oh, it's another YouTube video. Ooh, the magic of International Unicorn Day. There's a trivia quest video. Maybe we'll have to do that later. God, it's all videos. Isn't there just like a fun little blurb I can read?
Ugh, it's the TikTokification.
I know, it's bullshit. God, who wants to watch an AI video? Not me. Whatever. Sorry, guys. Can't learn more about unicorns, apparently.
All right, enough beating around the dead unicorn corpse.
Yeah, time to stop beating a dead unicorn.
Ah! Let's read Pokemon Megastar's weekly reply to us on Spotify.
I so look forward to Pokemon Megastar's comments. They're so consistent, and I just have to appreciate it. And shout out to you, Pokemon Megastar. Keep them coming.
This is in response to the Barking Up the Wrong Trico episode. Would your Sonic podcast be called Out of the Knot Hole, an Archie Sonic podcast? Yes, it would.
The Knot Hole?
That's how they get into their secret base, the Freedom Fighters.
The Knot Hole, okay.
Alex, we are doing that Sonic podcast someday.
Okay, we need a third. Who would our third be?
If y'all, anyone out there has a complete Archie Sonic collection, hit us up, because we need to know.
Austin's going to come to your house and take it.
This is only for people who are legal adults. Don't get involved otherwise. But I will come to your house
and take it. If you are a kid, log out of this podcast now.
Leave 5 stars and then log out. Okay, so Mega Man NT Warrior was a show I remember liking. Thank you for using the Elite Four music. I honestly don't know why. I just like it a lot. It plays way more than I remember. I'll tell you why it's good, Pokemon Megastar. It's because of the clapping.
Everyone likes that a good part. Clap track.
Yep, it's like the Friends opening.
I'll be there for you. I'm so off key. I'm so sorry.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? Tell me. Us.
Oh yeah, tell us.
I'm not okay, actually. I'm not okay.
I'm not oh fucking K.
Yeah, there you
go. Oh my god. Can you tell this is a post-work recording?
Oh yeah, if it isn't clear, we're more unhinged than usual because it's fucking 8:30 on a Wednesday night. Sorry about that.
Oh my god, y'all, right in. Do you like it more when we're more unhinged after work or when we're more sleepy on Sunday morning? Tell us. Oh tell god. Us, Annie. Are you okay? Tell
us. Okay, I haven't eaten any food, and most of the food I've had today, I've been a responsible adult, and I've had mostly sugar today, so please don't judge me. I think I'm crashing out.
I was eating cheese out of a bag, so.
You were eating cheese out of a bag? Oh my god.
Shredded cheese out of a bag. That was my dinner.
We are adulting so mess. Well. We're a fucking mess. Okay.
Okay, Pokemon Megastar, who is more of an adult than we are, continues. Anyway, goodbye, Arbok and Weezing. I teared up a bit. It's sad to see them go, but it's for the best. The last Team Rocket episode in the final season should have brought them back. I agree with that. I think it's weird we never saw them again.
Not a reunion episode to be seen.
No.
Well,
it's very odd.
In your hearts, you can have that episode.
I mean, I don't know what that episode would have been, but maybe they couldn't figure it out either.
I mean, I'm sure they could have figured something out. Come on.
The final sentence in this comment is actually a challenge for me. Because oh, God. It says, Austin, I'm calling you out. How would you write the Trico episode?
Yeah, you know what? I called you out in that episode and I said, Austin, thought experiment, what would you do differently? And you were like, I don't have to answer that because I'm not a writer. So here you go.
Well, okay. I thought about it a little bit.
Wow. See how he answers other people, but he does not answer me. Wow. Okay.
I've had days to think this over. And you'll be very disappointed in my answer because it's not very good. I don't have the magical cure-all answer to make the Trico episode more exciting. The only thing I could think of is maybe change it so that the Tricos are leaving the forest. They all lived in the giant tree, and now that it's dying, they're all going to migrate to a different, completely different area in Hoenn, presumably.
Ooh, it's like an exodus of Trico.
And our Trico's like, no, how dare you all? You're betraying our mother tree. So it's more dramatic, I guess. And I'm going to get rid of Team Rocket, other than they're making an appearance at the beginning, and Meowth translate all the Trico dialogue. Meowth can hang out for the episode, I guess. So the climax, instead of being a Team Rocket attack, is going to be a more focus on trying to preserve the tree. Instead of it splitting in half down the middle like that randomly, maybe it could get like knocked over by a windstorm or something, or struck by lightning or something and burst into flames. I don't know.
Oh my god, that's very dramatic.
I know. So more of Trico having to accept that life moves on and that he needs to move on. He decides that the change he wants to embrace is to go on a journey with Ash instead of staying with his herd and going to a different forest somewhere. That's okay. My proposal. It's the same episode, basically. I don't know.
It's just got a little more pizzazz.
Pizzazz
in there. Sure, I like that. I would be on board with that. I mean, it's pretty predictable, I suppose. It's like a plot line, but I feel like a lot of these Pokemon episodes are, so I would be okay with that.
And then Trico's abusive trainer says, stay on this stump until I come back for you.
And oh, then, my God.
And the rain comes.
And I left that, Trico.
Or no, rock, not a stump. I forgot.
I would watch the hell out of that.
Mm.
What if every single time Ash ever encountered an abandoned Pokemon, it was literally Damien leaving them?
It's going to happen again.
Yeah, it is going to happen
again. It won't be Damien. All right. No. Anyway,
it'll be another fun character with purpley hair. Okay, Austin, with that being said, we are going to ride our faithful unicorn steeds on to the episodes.
Yeah.
Have Taming of the Shroomish.
Great title.
Yes, it is. And you said a mouthful. Not as
not
great.
A great title. The Dragonite coin is being flipped. I am doing the 30-second summary for this one, the Shroomish episode.
You want to talk about that title?
I don't know Taming of the Shrew. I've never seen it or read it.
Me neither.
I couldn't even tell you like a plot summary of it. I'm sorry, I would.
I don't either. I should have done my due diligence and, like, researched anything to make a commentary on this, but...
I know.
Should we have done that beforehand?
We are such bad podcasters.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
I don't think it's really relevant, but...
Okay, so clearly it's a Shakespearean reference.
Yes. Oh my god, look at the picture Wikipedia uses for Taming of the Shrew.
What? Am I gonna be shocked?
Horrified? No, it's just silly.
Oh. Is it an AI shrew?
No, this is it.
Oh my god.
What the hell is that?
It's just some very manic looking people who are obviously acting in a stage production of this, and he's got her over his shoulder carrying her.
Oh, I do know Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, it's all coming back to you.
Not because I've ever seen it, but because it's the basis for 10 Things I Hate About You.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
10 Things I Hate About You? Taming of the Shrew. It's a teen movie that's based on the Shakespeare play, and it stars Heath Ledger as the romantic lead.
Oh.
And Julia Stiles and other famous people are in it. I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in it.
Okay.
All right, and I'm about to give you a summary of the Shroomish episode.
All right. So, when you're ready, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so May and Max are sisters, and the younger sister, Max, wants to date a Shroomish, but their father, Norman, won't let her until May dates a Shroomish first. So Heath Ledger, Shroomish, comes, and he's bribed to go out with May, and he wears May down by singing at a stadium, and they get together, and eventually she finds out, but they end up together anyway in the end, and I want you to want me. I need you to need me.
Thank you for that time. Okay, again with the singing, we can't stop, won't stop. Thank you. That was wonderful. I'm assuming that was the plot to that movie.
Yes, it was.
Thank you. I haven't seen that. God, is that another thing to add to my list now?
I'm surprised you haven't seen that movie.
You would be surprised at what you have or haven't seen, right? I mean, we can't watch everything. We talked about
that. That's true.
Okay, we are finally out of the horrid Petalburg Woods. And you would think they're standing over a metropolis. You would think that this is Rustboro, but psych, it is not.
It's Shroomish Town for the Shroomish Festival annually.
I know. Could you believe it? We've arrived just in time for the Shroomish Festival. Close, but not quite, actually. This is Rinchen Town. I wouldn't call it really a town. It's more like a sprawling urban center. And May is thrilled. She is just thrilled to be here. Finally, and I kind of like agree with her. I also was tired of those freaking woods.
Too many forest episodes. Too many.
Too many. But now we've got the nice, wonderful smell of exhaust and garbage, as Max puts it. May wants to go. She's kind of like the Misty of the group. She's like, I want to go shopping. So she goes with Brock. She pulls Brock in one direction. She's like, let's go shopping. Brock is like, okay, I'll go with you because I need to pick up some supplies, medicine, pertinent things that we need for our adventure. Ash, relying on Brock to take care of everything, as he always does, it's like, okay, you go do the hard work. Me and Max are going to go get a hamburger. Does not offer to go and get them anything. He just goes and deals with his own issues. I thought that was very rude.
I kind of love this.
Why?
Because it's the first time we're seeing in our group of four, we're able to split the group in two halves.
Oh, that's a good point. I just think it was kind of selfish for Ash to be like, well, I am going to go get food for myself. He does not offer to get lunch for the group. He just kind of does his own thing.
Nope.
Anyway, so they go off to get some burgers, and Brock and May go off their way. Meanwhile, we see a construction crew, and they are working on renovating this creepy old mansion somewhere, I guess, on the outskirts of town. And Team Rocket is also a part of this outfit. They're working their day jobs as construction laborers and cutting down trees or whatever. Back at the burger joint, Max is interested in going to look for some Pokemon. So he's like, you know what? I wonder if city Pokemon that hang around in this urban center, where they would be. They probably are going to be in some alleyways because they're probably scared of all the hustle and bustle. And so they're probably hiding in some nasty back alleys. Let's go play around and see if we can find any.
We're looking for Bruce Wayne's dead parents.
I suppose. So they go and play around in some dirty, grimy, shadowy alley. And Max was right. They do find a Pokemon. But this particular Pokemon is very out of place. It shouldn't be in a city. And that's because this Pokemon is a Shroomish.
I actually disagree with that. I feel like mushrooms are everywhere. Fungus. Mold. Ew.
I know. They sort of break down leaf litter and detritus and stuff on the forest floor. Like, I don't know. Would it be more like mushrooms or would it be more like mold?
It'd be mold. Gross.
Anyway, I mean, I guess it's not like so far-fetched to see a Shroomish in a city that's surrounded by forest. I mean, it's kind of like a natural overlap.
I mean, they didn't see a far-fetched.
In the city?
That's what you said. It's not so far-fetched.
Oh. But, you're so funny. Anyway.
I know.
So this Shroomish is looking kind of beat up and scared, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on with you, Shroomish? What's the problem? Max tries to give it some Pokemon food, but he's like, ew, I don't want your disgusting stale food. He wants what Ash has, and that's Brock's premium Pokemon food, which honestly, I don't blame this Shroomish.
Oh, was it different foods?
It seemed to me to be different.
I thought the difference was how they approached it, with Max running up and being like, here, Shroomish! I got food for you, Shroomish! Whereas Ash is more level-headed and was like getting down and looking at his eye level. And was like, he had Pikachu come up and offer it to the thing before Ash ran up there. So I thought that was the difference, was their approach.
I mean, it could very well have been that too. I was under the impression that it was different food, but I could very well be wrong. Regardless, Ash's approach does work. It's much more comfortable with Ash, and once it sees Pikachu being friendly and eating the food, it kind of warms up pretty quick and starts eating the food. And then Max does a really cute gesture. He runs up with a handkerchief, and at first I was like, what the hell are you doing? Are you about to, like, throw it over its face? Like, kidnap it, grab it up in this, like, cloth? What are you doing? But no, he ties it around its little, like, I don't even know what you would call it, little nubby things on its head.
We're not mushroom people. We don't know these things.
I mean, shroomish isn't exactly the best analogy to, like, a mushroom. It's kind of freakish.
I mean, it's a shroom-ish.
I didn't think its little, like, fronds. I don't even know what you would
fronds.
Call them. Fronds? Fronds. They could, like, move independently.
Now I'm looking at pictures of mushrooms.
I don't know what you would call that part of a mushroom, but...
Side effects of shrooms.
Don't eat the shroomish. Max gives it a super cute little bow tie on its head, and it's very pleased at this. Back at May and Brock's endeavors, they overhear some local gossip about the mysterious mansion that we saw before. And this place is called the Green Lodge.
Mm.
Is that from something?
I immediately went from Twin Peaks.
Is it called something Lodge?
Dale is in the Black Lodge. Write it in your diary.
The Black Lodge. Ooh.
Oh my God.
I've never seen Twin Peaks.
I'm in such a Twin Peaks mood right now.
Okay, the show or the movie?
All of it. There's like shitty episodes of Twin Peaks in season two. But other than that.
We still have to watch our David Lynch movies. We have to have a marathon.
Girl. Let's do it.
All right. Stay tuned, people.
I will say, when they said Green Lodge, I was like, oh, damn. And I started watching clips of Twin Peaks on my phone.
Of course.
Oh, this shit's so good. It's scary.
Okay. I'll have to watch it. I've never watched it. We're going to have to do this. Let's block out some time on our calendars.
It's pretty seminal. It's more seminal than 10 Things I Hate About You.
All right. So May is showing herself to be quite the intrepid explorer. She is all about, like, urban exploration. She wants to, like, break into the abandoned places and go investigate the spooky, like, lodge.
May is, like, B&E-ing into, like, an abandoned lot. Max is running down alleys. What is with them?
I know. They're just, like, no consequences for anything. But I guess they're, like, privileged kids. I don't know.
Oh, man. I love urban exploring videos, though. That's my shit.
Okay. Except for that one video that we just watched. That was boring as shit.
Yeah. That's because the guy was annoying.
Sorry. I don't remember who it is. So I'm just anonymously calling this guy out. He found this, like, abandoned, recently closed Walmart. The lights were still on. Somehow the front door was unlocked. He went in. His commentary was either A, non-existent, or when he was talking, it was the most dry, stale biscuit of a commentary I've ever heard. It was boring. I'm sorry.
Okay, we need to watch the urban exploring video where the person went into an abandoned, like, theater.
Ooh.
And guess what they found?
Oh my God, a dead body?
The rotting corpses of the Pokemon props from Pokemon Live.
No way.
Left abandoned behind a theater.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Are you pulling my leg right now?
I'm dead serious.
Why have we never watched this? Especially when we were watching the Pokemon Live stuff.
I will watch it.
Oh my God. Okay, please, I want to know.
It was spooky.
This is crazy. We gotta watch it.
Okay.
So, she is, like, all about this Green Lodge, and she pulls Brock along, and Brock has, like, been in enough crazy haunted places with his adventures with Ash and Misty. He's like, no, I don't want to go. Oh my God. And she's like, don't be a baby. So we end up there. Ash and Max also arrive shortly afterwards with Shroomish in tow. And Shroomish is very agitated and runs and dives straight into the broken window. And they're like, oh my God, don't go in there. We are then confronted by a man who is like, excuse me, children, you're trespassing. And they're like, no, we can be here because we saw Shroomish and that makes it okay for us to be here. And he's like, you are lying. There hasn't been a Shroomish in these parts for ages. And so then we launch into this guy's origin story and we learn that this is actually his late grandfather's mansion. So it's a family property and the urbanization of the surrounding city. When they started cutting down all the trees in the forest to make room for the buildings and roads and all that, caused the Shroomish to disappear.
I have about a billion questions about the logistics of this property.
Yep.
It's a big lot with a big mansion on it. And it sounded to me like the building was condemned by the city.
Is that the vibe you got?
That was the vibe I got.
Okay.
First of all, I want to point out that the guy said his grandfather passed away.
Yes.
He's passed away. Dad is gone. Dad's dead. Dead. No, dead.
Good
Lord. Dad. He's fine. He sends his love.
What's What's
that was reference? From Roseanne. If anyone got that, I applaud you. I'm in a mood. Anyway, okay, so the guy said his grandfather passed away, and I want to note that in conjunction with that Ninetales episode where they went out of their way to not say that Brock the First died 200 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Brock's long-lost, like, relative.
Yeah, but this man passed away probably within the last couple years. So I don't know what that's about.
He was old.
Well, yeah, but they could say it. They say it. He passed away, not he's no longer with us or whatever.
Okay, that's true. I guess, you know, I guess they didn't really, like, specify, but I guess it makes sense that it would be condemned.
Yeah, that was my first thought, but I don't think that's actually what happened. I think this guy is selling off the property for money.
Yeah, he kind of seems a little bougie, right? His outfit and mannerisms and stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's rich.
He doesn't want to admit that to the kids. He always kind of just sort of deflects, like, when they ask questions about it. He's just like, it's too late. There's nothing I can do to stop it. Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
He's very cagey about it.
He's like, I gotta get my money from this.
He doesn't want to be truthful with the innocent kids who are all about, like, nature preservation and obviously the best thing for the park and the forest and, like, the Pokemon there. He's all about self-enrichment, and it's like, well, I'm gonna get, like, at least a couple $1 million for the sale of this property.
How much do we think that property's worth?
I mean, it was a sprawling estate.
Yeah, but this is like a nowhere town.
This isn't a nowhere town. This is in between a major, like, a forest and, like, a major city. Like,
okay.
And clearly it's urbanizing very quickly, so I feel like this is a prime area.
Oh, yeah, it's on the rise.
Real estate and development.
I'm thinking maybe he should hold out for a little while, and then he can make more bang for his buck later.
I don't know. He's obviously cashing out, and he just doesn't want to come clean to this situation, to these kids. So he's being very cagey about it. He's like, no, I'm sorry. It's just too late. He doesn't take personal responsibility or really say, like, well, the city's coming in or anything. He's just like, no, I can't help you. Sorry. So, I didn't know what this guy's name was, actually. He doesn't introduce himself. At least if he did, I missed it. But it turns out you'll never guess what this guy's name is.
Grandson of the Shroomish Man.
Yeah, it is. Grandson of the Shroomish Man. How did you know that?
He seemed like a grandson of the Shroomish Man.
Yeah, first name, grandson of the last name, Shroomish Man. No, his name is... Are you ready for it? Are you fucking ready for it?
No.
Alex.
Oh! Oh, they did not say that anywhere in the episode, and I looked it up on Pokemon.com, and they didn't say his name there either. So where the fuck is Alex coming from? Bulbapedia,
yep.
Cite your sources. Where the hell did they get that from?
It was, well, my source is our favorite website ever of all time, Bulbapedia.
Yeah, but where did they get that from?
Fuck if I know. Probably. Are you looking it up?
I'm sure they don't cite their sources.
Well, apparently this guy's name is Alex, and I was very offended because I'm like, of course I have to share a namesake with the sellout guy who's, like, you know, a capitalist. And I'm like, ew, eat the rich. Okay, you want to know something? Because this is my name, and so I can speak to it because I just happen to know this.
Okay.
The name Alexander and or Alexandra means defender of mankind. So, I felt like this guy was not living up to his name because he was not...
No, he was defending himself, his own mankind, because he was getting that paycheck. He didn't defend the Shroomish, though.
I know. He's not a defender of nature, okay? He's a defender of mankind, and mankind wants to tear down nature and destroy. So, you know what? Actually, I take that back. Maybe he is more a defender of mankind. I don't know.
Where does the name Alex come from? That bothers the hell out of me.
I don't know, but we just have to go with it. That's what I'm going with because that's what Bulbapedia says, so.
I will never respect Bulbapedia until they correct the spelling of Richie's name. I'm just saying.
And also, I will never respect them until they get the lyrics right on their project, whatever it's called. It's like the project music thing.
Oh, my God.
For the Pokemon Christmas Bash lyrics, which were extremely and glaringly wrong. And their whole thing was like, we're committed to the 100% match of the lyrics and it's like accuracy. And I was like, that's a fucking bald-faced lie. So anyway.
Ooh, I found a mistake on there recently.
See? Not committed to accuracy.
On the next Pikachu short we're going to watch, yeah. On the Bulbapedia page, it says, this is the last Pikachu short to be dubbed in English. That's not true.
Okay. I'm just lying out left and right.
I'm just saying, that's not true.
Just false information. All right. Well, anyway, we have to take their word for it on this one. And Alex is what we got. So, okay. Alex, it's going to be... I called him Mr. Sir in my notes, but whatever.
I called him, like, the man.
The man. When the man comes to town.
Or the guy. I don't know.
So, we run into the mansion. And we find our Shroomish huddling in one of the rooms, shivering, very scared and upset. I feel so bad for it. Suddenly, two more pop out of nowhere. They're just springing up like, I don't know, a fungus.
Ah!
We get another, like, reminiscing moment from Alex about his, like, boyhood fascination with Shroomish, and I'm like, okay, I'm over you now. Please stop. Suddenly, Team Rocket is here, and they have blown a fucking hole in the floor, and I'm surprised this whole building isn't collapsing because it was a massive explosion.
Admittedly, that is their job.
That is true.
They are the demolition team.
Yeah, demolish his building, but I feel like you have to do it very strategically, right? Like,
no, I know, charges. I know.
Also, I feel like this place is full of dry rot and, like, it's just collapsing at the seams, so...
I mean, look at all the mold everywhere. The mushrooms are running around.
It's damp and disgusting, and there's mushrooms. Ugh. They don't die in an avalanche of debris. Rather, the room starts rumbling. They're like, what the hell is that? They try to start a battle, but they're like, what is this, like, horrible shaking? A stampede of Shroomish appear and start driving them out with a cloud of stun spore. It's everywhere. I'm pretty sure Team Rocket has, like, gotten stun spored. They're out of commission for a while. I kind of was like, whatever. Max and the gang, they're outside again. They once again implore this guy to please stop the construction of the grounds and the demolition of the mansion so that the Shroomish have a place to live. They're obviously frightened. There's thousands of them. How could you heartlessly just take away their home? And he's like, I'm sorry, kids. It's too late. So he just wants that fat, fat paycheck.
Fuck this guy.
I know. Even after seeing the plight of the Shroomish and the fact that they've infested his house, he can't be like, you know what? We need to declare this place like a nature preserve or something. We can't just do this. He's like, nah, I'm sorry.
Okay, what I do when I'm Ash and Brock and them by that point, I go to fucking City Hall and I say, this land needs to be protected. Right? We need a Shroomish relocation project before there can be any further construction happening on this property.
I feel like there's, like, a legal process that we can easily, like, start here. I feel like we just need to find a representative.
This is the Pokemon world. They're going to relocate the Shroomish or something, you know?
I know.
They will. They just will.
I know. This is supposed to be, like, a utopian society with the preservation of nature above all else. Like, surely this would not be a difficult thing to get permission to either preserve this area or humanely move the Shroomish somewhere else. Like, they obviously aren't thinking. And this guy is not willing to either. I thought for sure he'd be like, okay, you're right. I thought it was only like one Shroomish and I was pretty skeptical. I wasn't sure. Now I've seen with my own eyes, I will be the champion of the Shroomish and I'll go down to City Hall and file the paperwork I need to file. But he doesn't. He's just like, nope, sorry. He is up to no good. I didn't like this guy from the beginning, but now he's given us every reason to think that he's actually the villain in this plot.
Just like an Alex,
I know. So at this point, we're interrupted again. Team Rocket has somehow procured from Popular Pokemon Magazine a giant air filter robot because they're not going to be defeated by the stun spore. They are doing pretty well. They're picking up all the Shroomish. They're not really having any effect. The twerps, they're not having any effect on this robot. The only way that they eventually are thwarted is the fact that Meowth engages the circulation system, state-of-the-art circulation system, which is just rolling down the windows.
That's pretty funny.
Letting all the stuns pour in.
That was the highlight of the episode.
It really is. I feel bad for them. They really just can't help themselves. So after that happens, they easily blast off Team Rocket, yada yada. I think they plead again for this guy to, like, help, but he, again...
At this point, he's like, okay, I'm gonna lie to these children. Yeah, I'm gonna make it a Shroomish preserve.
I so...
Bullshit.
I am glad you pointed that out, because I also got that feeling. I'm like, this is a fucking lie. He just wants to get these kids out of his hair and away from this town so that he can go on with his, like, horrible capitalistic plot.
We didn't see him go over and talk to the construction crew. We didn't see him, like, make an announcement. Or the next day, they're, like, setting up, like, this is Shroomish Park or whatever. Like, none of that.
Well, the kids naively take him at his word because he assures them that he is going to personally scoop up every single one of these Shroomish and make sure that he gets them to his Shroomish forest that he's supposedly planting. And I'm like, my guy, why not just preserve this area? It's already here. You don't have to go out of your way to find another plot of land and plant a forest and wait for it to grow. Just let them stay here.
See, I thought that's what he did. I thought the implication was he was going to still tear down the building, but then, like, you know, plant more greenery in that space, and the entire lot would be the Shroomish area.
No, apparently
okay,
not.
I'm confused. Okay. This guy's a liar, and I don't believe him.
He is a liar. That's what I thought. I'm like, okay, even if you wanted to go ahead with the demolition of the building, that would be fine. You can just then designate this plot of land that you already have, that they already are living on, as the Shroomish Preserve and, like, plant more trees. But the way he phrases it makes it sound like, no, he's going to go off somewhere else, plant a forest from scratch, and relocate all the Shroomish, which makes zero sense.
Okay, then we had different interpretations.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
It doesn't matter. It's all a lie.
Alex to Alex, I thought that was what he was doing. Alex to Alex
telepathy.
Yeah.
We don't even know his name for real.
No.
Oh my god. What we didn't see was him ordering, like, Shroomish fumigation services to come.
You know what I thought for myself? I'm like, this guy could not be more sinister. Honestly, I thought he was going to gather them all up and, like, sell them to, like, the mushroom restaurant or something. I thought for sure he was not up to any good. I'm like, he is going to somehow capitalize and profit off of these Shroomish.
The deleted scene we didn't see was Austin. Was Ash going back to the burger restaurant and getting some, like, portobello mushroom burgers for the gang.
But my god.
They take off the bun and there's, like, a little Shroomish face, sad.
That would be
on the burger.
Absolutely horrendous. That was my interpretation, though. I'm like, he's totally selling it to, like, some restaurant or something. Anyway, the twerps just take this guy at his word, and they're like, okay, great. That sounds like a perfect plan. Goodbye. And they leave. There we go. Taming the Shroomish indeed.
By the way, update. Oh. Twin Peaks update.
Okay.
The exact quote was, "The good Dale is in the lodge, and he can't leave. Write it in your diary."
Okay, thank you for that update.
Okay, yeah. I'm so glad. Just to clarify. Okay, MVP, LVP, and quote?
Yep. Who's first?
Flippy flip. I am. My LVP is going to be Alex.
How dare you?
But not Alex, Alex. Shroomish Alex.
Okay, thank you.
My MVP, I'm going to give it to Meowth, because the rolling down the windows was kind of funny.
For your MVP?
Yeah. Okay, I do have one quote. When they get to the city, May says, "That smells great." And Max says, "What smells great? The air pollution, garbage, or the car exhaust?"
That was funny. I mean, it kind of reminded me, like, that quote specifically kind of reminded me of, like, the Grimer town.
Yeah, Gringy City.
Gringy! Every time I forget. Gringy City. I guess there is pollution in the Pokemon world. Okay, was that all from you?
Yep.
From me, I am going to give my MVP to May, I guess.
Okay.
Because... I don't condone the trespassing part, but I like the fact that she was the one that was like, let's go urban exploring, and it was kind of cute, so.
She wants to travel. She wants to see the world.
I know, she does. I guess she is kind of leaning into that aspect of her character, so. She's not about the woods, but she is about exploring abandoned, condemned buildings, I guess. My LVP, since I can't give it to Alex, sadly, I am going to give it to the city for not doing their due diligence in, like, making sure that there wasn't animals that were nesting in this area.
In the Pokemon world, you'd think there'd be, like, a mandatory environmental survey.
Yes. You literally have, like, near sentient, or basically sentient, conscious feeling creatures living in an area. It's like, okay, you're literally backed up to a Petalburg woods. You should probably be checking to make sure that there's not, like, habitats being formed in this place before you start tearing it down. So, shame on you, Rinshin Town management.
Yeah, fuck you, Rinshin Town.
Yeah, fuck y'all. So, LVP. My quote is going to be Meowth and James having a little argument when they're doing their construction duties. Meowth says, "I can't hear ya." Because he's holding a fucking chainsaw up to Meowth's ears, by the way. And then James says...
With the chainsaw on.
Oh, I know. It's fucking on. And he's like, "I can't hear you."
Inches from Meowth's face.
Where is OSHA? It's not very safe.
Not Rinshin Town.
Not Rinshin Town. That's why they get LVP. They're so bad. They don't have regulations at all. James says, "Open up those big ears." Meowth says, "My ears are wide open. Why don't you open up your mouth?" James says, if I open my mouth any wider, something might fly into it. Meowth says, well, guess what? It might just be my fist if you don't watch out.
Whoa. I missed
I know.
This entirely.
It's freaking all right. Intense.
That was a good one.
On to the next one. You said a mouthful.
All right.
Gosh.
Get ready to summarize.
How do I even do this? Oh, Lord. Okay.
Just shove a bunch of shit in your mouth and start talking.
I suppose I should.
3, 2, 1, go.
The end.
Time. 30 seconds is a really long time when you got that in your earbud.
I know. I started thinking to myself, this is a bad idea about 15 seconds in, but then I felt like I was committed to the bit, and so sorry if it got stale at the end, but that was my 30 seconds, and that's what I'm committed to.
I like it when we go off script.
Now you can just explain the whole thing fresh.
Yeah.
Rip, strip, fresh, ah! Or something.
Yep. Okay, so this episode starts...
Okay, it's past 9 o'clock. I haven't had dinner. Please forgive me.
No, I'm being even weirder than you are. Don't worry
about it. Okay, good.
We start with a weird recap. It's like, this is Ash, and his partner's Pikachu, and he's come to Hoenn with only Pikachu. And May is here, and Max, and Brock, and he got a Talo and a Trico. And I'm like, did we like run out of animation budget so we had to fill for time? Is that what's happening here?
Okay, is this like common around like... Episode 7, 8 mark.
I think it's episode 14 is when they do this. Episode 13, 14.
Is this like early for this then? Or
maybe it was the start of a new, like it was the new season of Japanese television for this episode. I don't know.
Anyway, in case you missed it, I guess. I don't know.
In case you missed it, go back and listen to our podcast again and leave 5 stars.
Yeah, we'll do a better job recapping than this.
So we are in, looks to be, it's a pretty woodsy suburban area, I would say. Maybe we're in the suburbs of Rinshin Town. A child who is voiced by an actual child.
This was wild.
It's so funny when they do that. He runs out of a facility of some sort and says, no one can beat that thing. It can't be real. So the twerps are like, well, I guess we got something to entertain ourselves for 22 minutes with. And they go there. And it's like, you know, a building with a battlefield area in front of it. And Ash walks up and is like, hello. They see a sign that says this is where the world's most powerful Pokemon is. And apparently there are like speakers around that like play pre-recorded applause.
That was weird as shit. They visibly react to it too. They like step onto the field and there's like a crowd track. And they're like, what the fuck? There's nobody here. This is so weird.
The only person here is Anthony, who, would you say he has a distinctive design?
He doesn't look like he belongs in this anime, I'll say that much.
I don't remember what he looks like off the top of my head without Googling him. Oh, I mean, there's multiple Anthonys, by the way, in Pokemon.
He's got Ash eyes, but like the rest of his face doesn't fit.
Yeah, his face shape is different. Here's the thing. According to Google Images, which is giving me the source of Bulbapedia, there are 3 Anthonys, at least, in the Pokemon anime, and all 3 of them have distinctive face shapes.
That's interesting trivia.
And one of the Anthonys is from the Rocky episode with a Primeape.
Okay.
Remember that one? Rebecca! I can't even do a Rocky voice.
Is that like the guy who abandoned his family to have like the dojo? Okay.
Yes.
What is up with the Anthonys being like in charge of their own weird, unaffiliated, standalone dojos? Like, very strange.
Well, he didn't have a dojo. He had like a boxing area.
He's got like chin for miles. Oh my god. Okay, this other Anthony does have also a weird looking chin. What's up with that? They both have weird chins.
And we haven't met this Anthony yet.
Oh, this guy does not have a chin to speak of.
No, he does not. Very rotund.
His face kind of goes directly into his neck.
We'll meet him later, I guess. Anyway.
Ooh, all right.
So one of the three Anthonys in the world is here, and he's like a braggart, showboat, weirdo guy, and he has a Pelipper. Oh my god, a Pelipper. I know we like Pelipper. Did we like the Pelipper in this episode? Well, we like it better than Delibird.
Okay, as a Pokemon, like, design-wise, I am not a huge fan of Wingull or Pelipper.
Okay.
Like, I guess as far as, like, in the anime with Pelipper and, like, the later seasons, like, bringing the Pokemon, what is it called? That crazy device? That
Rocket something device. I can't remember.
The crazy Team Rocket, like, Wonder Ball. Like,
coin
what,
slot. Yeah, coin Wonder slot,
Ball. Whatever Pokeball mystery machine that it brings.
That Pelipper was good.
Yeah, I like that Pelipper, but, like,
I like Pelipper Mystery Dungeon.
Oh, right. The Messenger Pelipper. I forgot all about that.
Have you seen the music video about Mudkip and Pelipper?
No.
And Mudkip and Pelipper are friends, but the trainer is training Mudkip to evolve into a marsh taunt, and Mudkip doesn't want to evolve because it likes to ride around in Pelipper's beak in the sky, and Mudkip gets very upset, and he yells at Pelipper and runs away, but then Pelipper comes up and says, it's okay if you evolve, we're still friends. But then the trainer gives the Mudkip an Everstone so they can continue to fly in the sky together.
That is the most bittersweet thing I've ever heard. But no, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to send it to you right after this.
Okay.
I might link to it in the episode description, actually.
I'm ready for heartbreak.
Oh my god, it's so good. Because it's Hoenn music with lyrics on top of it.
Okay, that's so sweet.
Very much anyway. This guy is running an unofficial gym, so I was getting big AJ vibes.
Yeah, AJ, if you forgot about AJ, he's the guy that put all his Pokemon in bondage gear and, like, whipped them with his whips.
You can find his OnlyFans at AJ Whipper Snapper.
Oh my god.
I don't know.
That was very much Nikolai the Knickerbocker with that. Oh, I'm not sure. God, where do you think AJ ended up? Jail, probably? I don't know.
We never saw him in the Kanto League, so hopefully he died, like everyone else in fucking Kanto. This guy's no AJ, though, because he's a scam artist. And Ash goes to fight him, and the rules are Anthony can only use Pelipper, but Ash can use as many as he wants. May's like, okay, what kind of moves does Pelipper know? And Max is like, you dumb idiot, it knows water and flying type attacks.
I mean, to be fair, like, this is basic 101 level shit that I feel like anybody with half a brain should know. May doesn't know anything at all about Pokemon.
Yeah, I know, but she's purposefully has avoided this until this exact moment, so.
Is this not, like, common knowledge in the Pokemon world? I feel like it's just one of those things you just pick up by living in that world. This isn't, maybe, like, difficult stuff.
Also, it's a pelican, so that water flying makes sense.
Yeah, it's common sense.
Anyway, well, common sense is going to cease to exist in just a moment. Because it is time for Pelipper to fight Ash's Pokemon, and to everyone's shock, it begins to use Vine Whip from its big ol' mouth, and it Vine Whips Treecko around, which somehow defeats Treecko, which is odd.
This is actually gross, and I kind of got, like, a little body horror shit out of this. I was like, ew, it's like vines coming out of its mouth. Ugh, god, nasty.
Yeah, I think we all had that reaction.
Gross. It was visceral.
Now, Talo, because Treecko loses somehow to that monstrosity, maybe he just wanted to be out of there.
To be fair, like, he was whipping him around, and, like, I think the centrifugal force, like, kind of just slammed him into the ground, probably knocked the wind out of him. It was pretty rough.
Well, Talo is doing a better job than Treecko was, because he's outmaneuvering Pelipper for a while, but then Pelipper uses a flamethrower, which I'm questioning why Anthony didn't use flamethrower against Treecko, but whatever.
He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, honestly.
No, he is not.
But it works.
It did work.
So
so now it's time for Pikachu versus Pelipper, except this time when Pelipper opens its mouth to use Thunderbolt to counter Pikachu's Thunderbolt, we very clearly see and hear a Pokeball open in Pelipper's mouth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we knew what was going on there, of course.
If it wasn't obvious already.
Because we're watching a show for six-year-olds, and we're like, oh, we're outsmarting them.
I mean, it is kind of clever. Pelipper's got a big old gullet.
I mean, I can't handle, like, Nope was a nightmare for me, because I can't handle being consumed by a creature.
Oh, my God.
The idea of being inside the digestive system or the gullet of a living being. I think I have like a primordial fear of that. And it happens in nature constantly, yeah. Like always. It's always happening. And so I don't know. The idea of being inside a pelipper's mouth, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
That's such a good point. I mean, a lot of animals eat their prey alive, which is absolutely a horrific ending. Secondly, I completely forgot about Nope. Love that movie. It was very creepy, but I totally forgot about the scene where they were inside of Jean Jacket, and I just got the shivers all around. Oh, God. Awful.
So that's what I thought of with this episode, with this pelipper.
Thank you for that.
Pelipper is able to, like, store shit in its beak, but I still don't trust it. Anything attached to a throat, I don't trust. Read into that what you will. I don't know what that means.
Quotable quotes from Austin. Anything attached to a throat, I don't trust.
Pelipper and Pikachu somehow double KO? Yeah, they double KO. So the twerps leave, and they're like, what the fuck was that all about? Okay, we're gone now. Team Rocket, of course, is spying all this, and they're going to get that magical Pelipper no matter what. But they show up, and they realize what's going on, because they see basically a Bellsprout and a Magby and a Magnemite come pouring out of Pelipper's gullet.
God. How many Pokemon? It's like a clown car. It's like they just all fly out. It's disgusting.
And Team Rocket's like, yeah, the jig is up, Anthony. Now we are in charge of this place. We have your Pelipper now. And you, well, we're not going to see you for a little bit. Goodbye. And then cut to all the people at the Pokemon Center are freaking out. They're all in the lobby because they're like, oh no, that weird unofficial gym Pelipper person stole my Pokemon after I agreed to give him my Pokemon if I lost. And Nurse Joy's like, that will not stand. That's against the rules.
Nurse Joy, she's a rule follower.
But Nurse Joy cannot leave the center, so the twerps go on her behalf to investigate.
Can I just pause and just shout out Max for like 1 second? Because I feel like he's the only sane person in this outfit. Like, I love him melting down about this. And still, I feel like everybody else around him was like gaslighting him. I'm like, are you all this stupid? What is happening?
Well, it's like a game sharker exists in their world now.
Oh!
To us, like a Pelipper knowing Flamethrower or Thunderbolt or whatever, that's not too odd. Because we're thinking of it as a fictional thing. But imagine from like his perspective, a kangaroo just flew away. Or like...
Right?
Something equally as absurd. Like an ostrich just shot fire at you. Or I don't know.
Right? He's the only sane person. Everybody else is like, well, I guess you just didn't know as much as you thought you knew. Big know-it-all. Ha ha. I also would be questioning my sanity. I'd be like, do I need to check myself in to like a psychiatric ward because everybody else thinks that this is normal behavior?
Because your cat starts talking to you, you probably should.
Yeah.
No reference to Meowth intended with that one.
Oh, clever.
Ah. But the twerps go to investigate because they're busybodies. And Team Rocket somehow has gathered a huge crowd outside this building that previously had no one there. And they're like, yeah, if you can beat the magical Pelipper, you can have one of our Pokemon, but if you lose, we get to take your Pokemon. And rest assured, we see this go down with some big, strong dude who loses his big, strong Zigzagoon to Team Rocket.
Maybe this is an unpopular take, but I kind of sort of... You know what? I'm just going to play devil's advocate for like 1 second. Like, I kind of sort of feel like this is a fair deal. Jesse and James are standing out there in their like ridiculous like clown outfit getup or whatever. But they're like not forcing people into this situation. They're just kind of like showmen, right? They're like, step up, come one, come all. Try your hand against our unstoppable Pokemon. If you lose, you accept this verbal contract that you're entering into. If you lose, you forfeit your Pokemon. If you want to take a chance, that's on you. All risk assumed. Like,
yeah, I don't feel bad for a single person who lost their Pokemon to the scam because you were willing to take that risk. You are a bad trainer.
I know. I feel like this is an enforceable verbal contract. You are agreeing to the stakes presented to you. This is a world where Pokemon are traded all the time and or caught from the wild. Like, how is this any different? It's like, okay, you are entering into this with the express agreement that if you lose, you are forfeiting your Pokemon. Sorry, like, don't take the risk if you don't want to reap that reward. Like, I don't know.
I do think it's probably illegal. The if you lose, you give out your Hoagiemon, and if I lose, I give up mine. I think that from what Nurse Joy was reacting, it sounds like that was legally not allowed.
I guess. I mean, sure.
But I don't care if Team Rocket was cheating. They still were willing to take that risk.
I don't know. I guess you're right. From the Pokemon world perspective, it's like, it's unfair. You can't do that. We all have to, you know, sing songs and get along and all this. But, like, in the real world, reality, it's like, yeah, shit's unfair. And sometimes you fucking lose. You gamble and you lose. Sorry.
That's what you fucking get.
There's literally been court cases on, like, are contracts drawn up on cocktail napkins in a bar enforceable? Like, shit happens all the time. Like, I'm sorry if it's unfair, but you went forward with this.
I don't think any of those people should have gotten their Pokemon back. I think they all should have gotten Giovanni.
I know. I do, too. But they almost get away with it. I'm so mad at Team Rocket later, like, and we'll see that. But, like, I don't feel sorry for these people. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a hard ass for that, but...
Well, things get kind of wild because the twerps run up. Ash and Brock are like, there's no way Anthony would give up his beloved Pelipper. That would never in a million years happen. We know this because we knew Anthony for approximately 2 minutes. And we know that this is not the case. And I'm like, You boys need to calm down because you don't know these people. Of course, they are right. Because I think Ash is battling... Is it Jesse is the battler?
I think so.
I honestly don't remember. But anyway, Ash is battling them. And Max, once again, not the first time he's done this, sneaks off unnoticed, runs into the building, finds a closet somewhere where he hears, opens the door, and there's Anthony hogtied on the ground. Of course. God,
he's like gagged and tied up. Like,
Team Rocket special.
Good for Max. Max taking matters into his own hands. He's a real one.
So Max heroically saves this grown man. Because Max is the best.
He is the best.
He's the surprise favorite so far.
I know. He's kind of like the dark horse. Like, I didn't expect him to be... Like, I didn't really remember this anime well enough to be like, oh yeah, I really enjoyed Max. Or I really enjoyed whatever. I'm pleasantly surprised. I love him. He's clearly the favorite, I think, so far.
May's going to need to step it up. But we know she will.
She needs to stop being so naive with her statements that she makes.
So, meanwhile, there's this whole little subplot. Meowth is physically inside the Pelipper with, like, dozens of Pokeballs. And he's in control of letting Pokemon out and having them attack. Like, he's, like, the mastermind here. It disgusts me to my core.
This was awful.
This was horrible. And eventually, it all comes crashing down when first Max and Anthony run out of the building. And then Meowth is like, I know what to do. Pelipper, use Water Gun! And Pelipper shoots out Meowth and all the Pokemon. And all the Pokeballs.
So, I just want to, like, back up 1 second. Because I just want to highlight the fact that what you said earlier was true. Team Rocket would have gotten away. And all these Pokemon would have gone to Giovanni. If Jesse had just knew when to quit.
Well, we know their fatal flaw.
This pissed me off so much. I'm like, you guys had it in the bag. No pun intended. You literally have all these Pokeballs. Nobody's the wiser. The twerps haven't even arrived yet. You could literally run off right now.
You knew they weren't going to.
Well, of course not.
And if they did, they would stop at a log cabin and the twerps would find them anyway.
It's just, okay, not that I like am condoning theft or whatever, but we agreed that, you know, these people entered willingly.
It wasn't theft.
It wasn't theft. So you know what? Honestly, in this situation, I'm like, they would have been totally justified in their actions, honestly. They should have just fucking quit while they were ahead. They could have gotten away with it maybe the one time they ever could have gotten away.
If it wasn't for those meddling twerps?
If it wasn't for Jessie and her vanity and wanting just that little bit more. So, oh God.
It's like an addict with a rush.
She is. I think she is really addicted to like getting beaten by the twerps and just failing. I think honestly, they don't want to be successful like deep down. I don't know what it is.
Regardless, Team Rocket bullshit inevitably happens. They try to leave in the balloon, but May comes up with the same strategy that Meowth was concocting earlier from within the mouth of Pelipper. And she's like, I know, let's douse them with water and then electrocute them and they'll die. And then Ash is like, that's a great plan. So they do, and Team Rocket's blasted off again. They get the Pokeballs back, blah, 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 blah. Now Anthony got his Pelipper back, and the twerps are like, oh, okay. Well, bye then. And I'm like, y'all did not take the time to give Anthony shit for his conning people with his magical Pelipper bullshit. They did not address it at all. I mean, is it the most immoral thing in the world? No. It's not like he's competing in official matches or something. He's just doing this as a lark.
You know what? I had an idea just now. I feel like this could still be a fun gimmick, okay? Because this guy is not advertising himself as an official gym. He is very forthcoming with that right off the bat. He's like, this isn't a real gym. I don't give out badges. It's just for fun. I'm the most powerful, whatever. I think you could still do something with this. Honestly, it'd be a fun thing if it was kind of like a blind bag of like Pokemon. Like, say you go in to face Anthony and he's like, me and my mystery Pelipper. You never know what you're gonna get. And it's kind of like a fun gimmick like that.
Okay, yeah. Or he could do, like, he could go, like, on a show. Like he could set up a stand and be like, look at the magical Pelipper. What's it going to do next? And it sends out, like, you know, electricity or whatever. And sure. Then people are like, oh, how does it do it?
I know. The people in the Pokemon world are easily entertained. So I feel like you could turn this into, like, a sideshow attraction. Anything would be fine. Like, I honestly think that'd be kind of fun. Like, you go into the battle and you're like, disclaimer, like, you never know what you're gonna get. What is it gonna be? Is it gonna be a grass type attack? Is it gonna be a, you know, whatever. We don't get any of that, so whatever.
I was just surprised there was no moralizing about, like, you should train your Pelipper to be the best that it can be, and you don't need gimmicks, and blah, 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 blah. That didn't happen at all.
Doesn't he kind of say that on his own accord, though? He does say, like, well, I'm gonna do this the right way, and, like, train my Pelipper.
Sure.
And Ash is like, yeah, you can do it, or something. I mean, they kind of do.
Okay. Regardless, we leave never to see him ever again. Goodbye, Anthony. That was a waste of our time.
I'm not really sad that we'll never see him again.
So we got two back-to-back full-blown filler episodes this time. No, nothing too notable.
Love that for us.
I think we're just establishing Hoenn, new Pokemon. This is how the group handles everyday situations.
Sure. Fine. I'll allow it. They weren't the worst, honestly. I mean, we got a lot of good discussion out of that, so it was a win all around.
We did our favorite thing we do, which is attack the filler characters.
They deserve it. Okay, MVP, LVP, and quotes. Who is first?
Flip, flip.
Flop.
I am.
Okay.
I guess my MVP, I'm going to give it to Max.
Damn. All right.
For sneaking around the back again. I like how he's taking advantage of the fact that no one pays attention to him. And also for being the one person to question reality when his world was turned upside down.
I'm pissed at Brock. Like, Brock, come on, man. Like, you're just sitting there acting like, this is really weird.
My LVP is going to be nature for being so cruel and for the cycle of life to involve so many living creatures to be digested alive.
R.I.P.
Is that too weird? Is that too weird of an LVP?
No, life is cruel.
That's true. My quote. I'm going to give it to Max saying, that Pelipper sure doesn't look all that impressive to me. And May says, that's usually how it goes with people who love to brag so much.
Wow.
Because that's true.
Ice cold. I love their sibling rivalry. It's just great.
They have a realistic sibling relationship.
It's antagonistic, but well-meaning and in a sweet way, I guess, if that makes sense. It's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Austin. Okay, that was great choices. My MVP is going to be, I need a hint.
Ash, May, Brock, Anthony, Jesse, James, Meowth, Treecko, Talo, Torchic, Pelipper, Nurse Joy, Magby, Magnemite, Delsprout.
Okay, you know what? This is, I don't even know. I don't personally believe this, but it's the only thing I can think of because I find body horror disgusting. I'm just going to give it to Pelipper for being able to have all that shit in its mouth.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's crazy. I can't believe it had, like, 75 Pokeballs in its mouth at one time. It has to be a record. It was gross as shit, but what are you going to do? I guess that's that. My LVP is going to be Jesse.
A rare Jessie LVP.
I know. I usually never give it to Jessie because usually she's like our queen, right? But she had it in the bag and she fumbled it at the end. She let her vanity and just that little bit of Pikachu addiction put her over the line of stupid because they could have easily gotten away and she just had to stay.
Also, as if Ash was going to give you Pikachu. Yeah, fucking right.
I know, right?
For real, like,
she did kind of, her explanation was they have a lot of firepower on their side. You know, they had obtained these Pokemon fair and square, more or less. And, you know, they had a lot of firepower on their side, which statistically speaking, sure. But like, destiny speaking, no, you're never going to get Pikachu. So anyway, my quote is, okay, this is a long one. Prepare yourself. It's when they are planning on this scheme of stealing the powerful Pelipper. This is before they knew the secret, right? So Jesse says, let me just clear this up. With the world's most powerful Pokemon, we wouldn't even need Pikachu. Meowth says, she makes a good point. James says, but there's one small problem with that kind of power. Overpowering the world's most powerful Pokemon requires a Pokemon with even more power than the first one. Meowth says, that means we'd have to catch a more powerful Pokemon than the most powerful Pokemon.
Oh my god, you're doing like an old-timey movie, like...
I know, I'm hamming it up. Jesse says, and that means we need to catch one with more power than the one that's more powerful than the most powerful. Meowth says, then we need a more powerful Pokemon than the more powerful... Ow, I just bit my tongue.
You know what else you sound like? Terrence and Phillip from South Park.
I'm not your friend, buddy. Buddy, pal. I don't know. God, I think that's it. I probably screwed it up, but whatever.
I can't believe you wrote all that down.
I can't believe I did either. You want my secondary quote, too?
Sure.
Sure. Why not? This is when they're inviting all the trainers up to test their mettle against the powerful Pelipper. Jesse says, take a chance. No trainer should miss this opportunity to put his Pokemon to the test. Meowth says, the truth is, you've got nothing to gain and everything to lose. And then James says, shh, you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose.
By the way, that thing was called the Rocket Prize Master.
Oh, thank you.
It was bothering me. And this is what Pelipper looks like with it inside of it.
Horrible, actually. Ew, I hate it. Sorry. Oh, it's so gross.
All right, that's it.
Okay, that is it. Austin, any final thoughts?
Nope, I have no thoughts. Nothing in my brain.
Perfect. Can you let us know, then, what is on tap for next week?
Two regular episodes again. A Bite to Remember, which ironically is an episode I do not remember.
Oh.
And the Low Tad Lowdown.
The Low Tad Lowdown. Ooh, I bet I know what happens in that one.
I think I do too.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, that's super exciting. Look forward to that. Oh my gosh. Well, with that being said, we thank you guys for listening. And we invite you to get in touch with us. Leave us some comments. We love to hear from you guys. We have a Gmail account that you can reach out to us on, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have a Blue Sky account that you can follow us over there, @outofdryingpan. We also have an Instagram. You can follow us there too. Same handle, @outofthedryingpan. We also have a Patreon. If you like what we do and you want to support this podcast, we would really appreciate it. We have all kinds of cool bonus content that you can get access to if you subscribe, so please check us out over there if you're so inclined. And as always, we love to say thank you guys for listening, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.